Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. That's 1-888-7000-274. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The current edition of the Christian Research Journal is available, and right now, using a special offer code, Winter 2014, you can get the current edition absolutely free and the subscription at a reduced price. All you have to do is go online to equip.org and use the Winter 2014 code, and you can get your current edition of the Christian Research Journal absolutely free, and the subscription, again, at a reduced price. The current edition deals with all kinds of interesting issues, like, does the Bible require Christians to attend church? A provocative question, but there's a very definitive answer. Also, the whole issue of gun control, that debate you can see almost nightly on television today because of all of the killings that we have had, particularly in the West. And then the myth of persecution. It's a provocative title. It's an overdone thesis, and Paul Meyer undresses it. This is being communicated more and more broadly and now in a popular book. How do you address these kinds of historical revisionisms? I also do a Ask Hank column, and in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal, I answer the question as to whether or not all religions lead to heaven. And basically, the answer I give is that when you examine world religions like Hinduism or Judaism or Buddhism, you'll immediately recognize something. They all directly contradict one another. Moses taught that there was only one path to God. Krishna taught that there were many paths, and Buddha, well, his path was not directed by God at all. Now, logically, they can all be wrong, but they can't all be right. Furthermore, the road of religion leads steeply uphill. Christianity is precisely the opposite. What I mean by that is all religions at their root are a person's way of becoming acceptable to God by what they do, by living a good life, by eventually becoming one with nirvana, one with the universe, whatever, but they're all an upward trend. Christianity says we can never reach up. God reached down. And he did that through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ demonstrated that he was God through the immutable fact of the resurrection. It was Jesus himself who said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And then he said, no one comes to the Father except through me. And because he validated his claims as being God himself, his opinion is infinitely more significant than the opinions of all others combined. Again, one of the questions I answer in the Ask Hank column. Another question I answer there is, what happens to a person who has never heard of Jesus? The Christian Research Journal, an award-winning magazine that no Christian home should be without. Again, check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants are standing by, and you can contact them via the phone, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Let's go right to the phone calls. First up, Randy in Colorado, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Randy.
Hello, Hank. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thank you so much. I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller. Appreciate your ministry so much, and just want you to know the Bible Answer books and the Creation Answer book have been just invaluable tools for my family, daily devotionals for my young children, and appreciate how they've guided us and stretched us, and just wanted to let you know that.
Well, thanks. That's extraordinarily encouraging.
Yes, listen, to follow up, I heard you answer a question on an earlier broadcast regarding homosexual marriage and the governing of it and how we as Christians should be involved. And while this is a hypothetical question for me, and I pray for you, it's a very real question to a dear friend who has asked me to counsel with him on this. But should a Christian attend the homosexual marriage of one of his children?
You know, what's interesting about that, especially is the personal aspect. You know, yes. You're talking about one of your children. And, you know, we did an article in Christian Research Journal, and it was actually a debate. One of the debaters is Michael Ross. The other is Joe Dallas. And I tend to agree with virtually everything Joe Dallas says on the subject of same-sex marriage. But in this particular case, I actually take the position of Michael Ross. I would attend that marriage. Certainly would be very candid and open in terms of what my belief was, and with a family member, that probably wouldn't be a surprise. But I wouldn't shun that family member, because I'd always want the door to reconciliation to be wide open. Sometimes there's a divide that comes as a result of these sorts of things, and I don't think that we should shun those that we so desperately want to reach. So I personally would attend that wedding, and certainly always be available for communication with gentleness and with respect. But Joe Dallas on this subject is, I would say, far more equipped than I am. This is a field that he knows intimately. And as I've had him on the Bible Answer Man broadcast many times, I always glean an insight from him. So I highly value his position, although it is not my position.
Fair enough. I thank you so much, and that helps me.
And the article you can find on the web. And if not, I can send you a copy of it. But I think it's really worth reading the debate. Two fine, fine Christian gentlemen who are extraordinarily gifted in terms of not only their disciplines, but in terms of just interpreting Scripture rightly. So I think the article would be very helpful to you. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Ron in Orlando, Florida. He's listening on the web. Hi, Ron.
How you doing?
Good, thank you.
My question has to do with Genesis 2:18.
Uh-huh.
The Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone." Does this mean that a person who refuses to be married, or for some reason cannot be married, will always suffer loneliness?
Well, no, I don't think so. And certainly there are many exemplars who didn't get married. And the reason is they wanted to devote themselves to Christ and the kingdom and not be encumbered. The Apostle Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament epistles, is a classic case in point. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself was not married. So I think that the ultimate objective, maybe the standard, if you will, in general, would be marriage. We were made for that union, but I don't think all Christians must be married. And certainly Christians can find that companionship in a sanctified sense in deep friendships with both males and females outside of marriage.
Yeah, what confuses me about that also is that when Adam was created, he was created in a state of perfection. Well, if that's true, doesn't that preclude feeling lonely?
Well, I mean, think about the fact that God created us for fellowship, and the language of Genesis is anthropomorphic. It is a godly condescension to our own human limitations. So God desired fellowship with humanity, and yet God was completely self-sufficient in a love relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So I don't think that Adam in some sense was created deficiently, but he is fulfilled in the marriage process.
Right, understood. Thank you.
You got it. Appreciate your call. Good question. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Rick in Graham, Washington, listening on KCIS. Hi, Rick.
Hello, Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Nice talking to you.
It's so exciting to talk to you. I'm a recent listener of yours, and I heard you on a symposium with Gary DeMar talking about end times theology, and I was just so amazed and impressed with how you paint images with the words you choose. Mm. It just blew me away. So it's great that I get to talk to you now.
Well, I'm privileged to talk to you as well.
So here's my question, and it's really been heavy on my heart. The doctrines of grace, or the 5 points of Calvinism, whatever you want to call it, and specifically predestination, does a person that is not predestined by God to receive the calling, if they hear the general call of the gospel, are they even capable? Does God grant them the grace and the faith to receive that call and become believers?
Well, from a Calvinist perspective, the answer would be no. In other words, God creates everyone in such a way that they cannot respond to the gospel, but he regenerates those who are predestined in the Calvinist sense. And then they have ears, and they not only can hear, but they must hear. So those who are in the opposite category, who are not regenerated or rewired to be able to hear the gospel, those have no possibility whatsoever of responding to the gospel. Again, that is the Calvinist system. So you're made in such a way that you must of necessity act in accordance with your nature. In other words, God is sovereign, and you are free to do what you have been regenerated to do. But if you haven't been regenerated, you cannot do that. You cannot hear the gospel any more than a cow can fly. Again, that's the Calvinist perspective. It's called circumstantial freedom or compatibilistic freedom. I don't hold to that view, although, as I've said on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, I grew up in a Calvinist family. Early on, I was a Calvinist cadet. I memorized the Lord's Days of the Heidelberg Catechism. And so I was steeped in the Calvinist paradigm, but there were many questions that I had about it that I could not reconcile ultimately with the Scriptures, although I very much admire those who are Calvinists and have found a way to do that. I think their reasoning is oftentimes inconsistent, just as they think mine is. And so the debate continues. But yeah, I mean, I can't hold to the notion that Calvin held to, which is that God not only foresaw the fall of the first man and in him the ruin of his posterity, but at his own pleasure arranged it. The thing that leads me to think is that God is the author of evil. And in my view, God is not the author of evil. He created the potential for evil. Humans actualize that evil by their choices.
Yeah, and I'm still studying this as well as other topics, and it just weighs heavy on me. But and I guess ultimately we're really not going to know until the end when we are with God, and then even then it may not even matter. So this must be one of those issues that we will find out at the end of all time.
I think the thing that we do have to hold fast to is the sovereignty of God, the justice of God, and genuine human culpability. I think that however you deal with those three issues, you have to deal with those three issues on the basis of the biblical text. And one of the things I've mentioned on this broadcast is a set of debates that we did in the Christian Research Journal, where we have a Calvinist, non-Calvinist debate this very subject. And those articles are up on the web. You can find them at equip.org.
Yes, thank you. I will check that out. Since I'm new to listening to you and I'm just so impressed, I'll check that out. So, hey, thank you for your time and for taking my call.
You're welcome. And we have wonderful Christian staff members who are Calvin, followers of Calvin, or Calvinistic. We have wonderful staff members that are not. They're non-Calvinistic. And we choose to conduct the debate with gentleness and with respect. We learn from one another. And many of the people that I that I endorse very highly as writers to the journal come from a Calvinist perspective, although many others do not. But again, I don't think that this is ultimately a point of departure. We can stand shoulder to shoulder with one another. And I have to say, in all candor, I have learned as much or more from Calvinist theologians than I have from anybody else. One of the people that has had a tremendous impact on my growth and development as a Christian was R.C. Sproul, who is perhaps the best popular Calvinist on the planet today in terms of taking very deep ideas and making them accessible to average people like me. He's just brilliant, and he's absolutely the real deal as well. So I have great respect for him. I strongly disagree, just as I did with my father, who died a Calvinist pastor, and I look forward to spending eternity with. We're coming to a station break. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember that this minister is supported by listeners just like you. Without your support, we could not do what we do. So we ask you to stand with us prayerfully as well as financially in a tangible way. You can do that on the web, equip.org. Be right back.
People are looking for love in all the wrong places. But to find amazing love, we should look no further than our Creator. Hank Hanegraaff wants to help you grow in your love with the One who made you by sending you Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. It's his gift to thank you for your donation to the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So request your copy of this important new book when you call 888-7000-CRI with your gift today. That's 888-7000-CRI. Stay with us. There's more from Hank Hanegraaff coming up next. People are looking for love in all the wrong places. But to find real love and amazing intimacy, we don't have to look any further than our Creator, the One who wants to know you and loves you enough to give His life for you. This month, Hank Hanegraaff wants to help you grow into a deeper love with the One who made you by sending you his newest book called Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. It's his way of saying thank you for your gift and support of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, a gift that helps reach others who are desperate to know true intimacy with God. So please, share generously today and request your copy of Secrets to Real Intimacy with God when you call 888-7000-CRI with your gift. 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. CRI. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. Hank Hanegraaff stumbled upon a secret when it comes to his beloved game of golf. When things go wrong with his game, it's not because he's failing to follow some faddish formula. It's because he's compromised a basic fundamental. Getting back to basics applies not only to the game of golf, but also to the art of Christian living. And that's why Hank wants to put his newest book, Secrets to Real Intimacy with God, into your hands. He wants to help you know our Creator's deep love for you in Christ. And he wants to send you a copy of Secrets to Real Intimacy with God as thanks for your gift to support the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please, share generously today and request your copy of Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. Go online to equip.org and request your copy. That's equip.org.
www.bibleanswerman.org. Whether you're talking about the game of golf or the art of Christian living, you have to focus on the basics to be successful. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wants to put his newest book, Secrets to Real Intimacy with God, in your hands this month. He wants to help you know our Creator's deep love for you. This special resource is our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please go to equip.org and request your copy today. That's equip.org. Let's get back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Back to our phone callers. Next up, Charles in Belleville, Illinois, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Charles.
Hi, Mr. Hanegraaff.
How are you?
Hello? I'm doing great, sir. I just want to take much of your time. I just had a question about the Way International, if you knew anything about them and what your opinion was.
Yeah, it was founded by a guy named Victor Paul Weirwill. He died back in 1985. So they have a new president. Basic teaching is that Jesus Christ is not God. The Holy Spirit is an impersonal force or power. The law of believing that is taught in this context is that whatever you believe is going to happen, whether good or bad. So it has some smattering, as it were, of word of faith kinds of proclivities as part of the whole movement. But it's definitely a cultic movement.
Okay, well, thank you for your time, sir.
You got to appreciate your call. We'll go right back to the phone callers. Next up is Bruce listening in Lorena, Texas, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Bruce.
Hello.
Hi.
My question for you is it wrong for me to have a desire to serve God more of a fear of his judgment and being sent to hell rather than simply a love for him, because sometimes I feel like that's where I'm at.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've said this many times, but Jesus Christ is a person, and when we come into a relationship with him, we come into a love relationship with him, and the more that we get to know him, the more we love him. So the love increases. And not only increases in time, but will increase for all eternity. We're not omniscient. We're not those that will know everything when we get to eternity. So we will continue to grow and develop in our love and our passion for Jesus Christ. So it's an ever-increasing blessing that we have to look forward to throughout the remainder of our lives and throughout all eternity. So what happens when you become a believer? You recognize that you're a sinner, you repent of that sin, and you say, I love Jesus, I want to do it his way. He loved me, he was willing to sacrifice himself for me. No greater love does anyone have for another than he is willing to lay down his life for that person. And in the sense of Jesus Christ, he not only suffered for us physically, but also bore the sins of all humanity. So he suffered more than any person, more than the cumulative sufferings of all of humanity, so that we might be reconciled to him, so that we might have a relationship with him. I mean, that's the whole thing. The whole thing is a matter of relationship. It's not just a logical set of truth propositions that we adhere to, but it is a love relationship. It is a life. And so Jesus Christ now goes with us as our friend. He carries us through the deep and dark disasters of life. He's an ever-present friend, a friend that sticks closer than a brother. So it's incongruent for a believer not to develop that love relationship. But our relationship with Jesus Christ, talking about people in general, all at different levels. You know, if you want a deep relationship, you have to spend quality time with an individual on a human level, and certainly that's true with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The more time you spend with him, the more you love him, the more intimate that love becomes.
Well, that's a good answer, and I have noticed that it has been the case that the more I concentrate on each thing that I do being done in accordance with his will, if in fact I'm able to do that, then I do feel like that the relationship is growing. And that is one of the reasons I was inspired to call and ask you that question. And I do appreciate your answer, but would it be okay if I asked you one more question?
Yeah, go ahead, Bruce.
Okay. I recently had a conversation with a person of the Jewish faith, and, of course, I wanted to know what the difference was, the biggest difference between the Christian faith and the Jewish faith. And, of course, the answer, one of the answers was is that they do not believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that that was simply a title. And, of course, they went on to say that, you know, Abraham, for example, was basically the savior for the Jewish people, and mentioned some others. And my answer was, you know, I understand that most likely that teaching is coming from the Old Testament, but that those people could not bear the sins of anyone. Only Jesus could do that. And so I wanted to know what your perspective was on that, and if there was something about my answer that you thought I should change or should have answered differently on that question.
No, I think your answer was brilliant. I think it's right on point. Only Jesus Christ can bear the sins of humanity. Only Jesus Christ lived the perfect life. Only Jesus Christ could walk through the doorway and fulfill the Old Testament, jot and tittle. He is the only one that who could emerge through the prophecies of the Old Testament prophets. So Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and we can demonstrate that. I mean, just look at the prophecy. The prophecy in terms of his ancestry through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The prophecies concerning his birth in Bethlehem, not just any Bethlehem, but Bethlehem Ephrata. Of all the towns and hamlets in the world, only Bethlehem Ephrata would do. The fact that he would be crucified. So the circumstances surrounding his death are predicted by prophets like Isaiah. That the time parameters, the date of his coming, was given within historically narrow time parameters. The fact that he would be an extraordinary worker of miracles, that he would fulfill all the law and the prophets, that he would not just be a parochial Jewish Messiah, but he would come so that the light might go out to the Gentiles as well, so that the knowledge of God would fill all the earth. So only Jesus could fulfill all of those very specific and well-detailed documented prophecies. And so when I talk to Jewish friends, I will point out that Jesus is the only one who can walk through that doorway and fulfill those prophecies, and therefore they don't have to wait for a coming Messiah. Messiah has already come and demonstrated that he was God through the immutable fact of resurrection, which is something that Paul, as a Jew, made an ironclad case for, saying that Jesus suffered fatal torment, the tomb was indeed empty, Christianity can't survive an identifiable tomb containing the corpse of Christ. He appeared, he gave many convincing proofs that he was alive to people that were around at the time and could be cross-examined if, in fact, this was not true. And then people are utterly transformed as a result of those appearances of Christ, such that they now are willing to die for the very one they once despised. Paul, of course, the classic example, but you think of James, the half-brother of Jesus, who was embarrassed by everything that Jesus stood for until Jesus appeared to him. And then he calls himself a bond servant of Christ. He becomes a leader of the Jerusalem church and eventually is stoned for his faith. And you inevitably have to ask the question, why would someone willingly die for the notion that one of his family members is, in fact, God? Only the resurrection of Jesus Christ can account for that. So, first of all, I think your answer was very good. Secondly, I think it's important to find out what kind of a Jew you're talking to, because Judaism has various expressions. There's Orthodox Judaism, known as Torah Judaism. It's best known for its strict dedication to the eternal and unalterable Mosaic law as reinterpreted by rabbis subsequent to the fall of Jerusalem. So only through devotion to the complex code of Jewish law can you experience nearness to God. I spent some time with two Orthodox Jewish rabbis in Iran, incidentally. a year or so ago, and was privy and watched up close and personal as they tried to keep that complex system of laws, particularly with respect to eating. I felt very blessed that I didn't have to keep those laws, that Jesus said that it's not what goes into a man's mouth and out through his body that defiles him, it's what proceeds from the heart. And in saying that, Jesus Christ declared all foods clean. So you have, anyway, the Orthodox Jews, then you have the Reform Jews, you also have conservative Jews, and there are other permutations of Judaism as well.
Okay. Well, Hank, I wanted to thank you for taking the time to answer that for me, and I will try to probe farther with this person and find that answer out, because I would like to continue the conversation with them, and you've given me some very good points and some scripture to refer to as well. So thank you again so much for your time and being patient with me on this.
Oh, you got it, Bruce, and thank you for your desire to be a witness for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what the show's all about, and that's what we're seeking to do, to equip people, to encourage them, and to give them a model, not just in terms of content, but also in terms of composure, where you do what you do with gentleness and with respect. My book, Has God Spoken, really speaks to this issue on many different levels, so it's available as well. You can find it on the web at equip.org. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jeff in Mount Juliet, Tennessee, listening to Bot Radio. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for your ministry. We do appreciate that. I'm a lifelong Baptist. And the last 3 years, I've been a member of a Pentecostal church, to my surprise. And this church, I know you've spoken about John Bevere in the past. This church somewhat treats him like a rock star. You know, they love to hear him come speak and whatnot. It's a mega church. And one of the life group leaders, this was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back for me, played a presentation that was written by him called Affabel, and it's an audio presentation that's a real movie quality, and it's something that he wrote, and they've got some big-name actors, and it's a parallel story that parallels the Bible, kind of like The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And you have a king who, his name, I believe, is Jalen, and he represents God. And the dungeon represents hell, that type of thing. And the king sends two of his subjects to hell. And one he sends because the person didn't forgive some people in his life. And the guy's screaming and hollering, "But I believed in you." And he sends him anyway. And the other one, the other lady he sends to hell, is because she wasn't obedient. And the king says, "Obedience is the key." I mean, that's a quote. Obedience is the key. And I was just floored sitting here with this Bible group. And I was hoping when it was over, they would say, "Did anybody have a problem with that?" But they all loved it. And I thought, wait a minute, I think something's wrong here, because I don't know that I want to be a Christian if I have to work my way into heaven, if I have to be perfect and forgive people. And this really floored me. What is your opinion of this? And maybe...
Well, as Christians, we should forgive. I don't know anything about this particular presentation, but I can tell you in general that he is a typical Word of Faith teacher. Very, very dangerous from that perspective. He teaches that Christians should have total prosperity. He runs in a crowd with Benny Hinn and other false teachers. He says God is restoring the prophetic to turn the hearts of people back to him and so forth. So he's not someone that I would recommend on any level, but certainly can't comment on the presentation other than say in principle we are called to forgive, but none of us do that with perfection. Be right back in just a few moments.
Life is a series of one challenge after another. And when things begin to fall apart, we're often tempted to look for solutions in all the wrong places. That's why this month Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you a special resource to help you draw closer to our Creator. It's called Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. And this book is our thank you to you for your donation to the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man. So call 888-7000-CRI right now with your gift. That's 888-7000-CRI. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Hank Hanegraaff stumbled upon a secret when it comes to his beloved game of golf. When things go wrong with his game, it's not because he's failing to follow some faddish formula. It's because he's compromised a basic fundamental. Getting back to basics applies not only to the game of golf, but also to the art of Christian living. And that's why Hank wants to put his newest book, Secrets to Real Intimacy with God, into your hands. He wants to help you know our Creator's deep love for you in Christ. And he wants to send you a copy of Secrets to Real Intimacy with God as thanks for your gift to support the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please, share generously today and request your copy of Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. Go online to equip.org and request your copy. That's equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. People are looking for love in all the wrong places. But to find real love and amazing intimacy, we don't have to look any further than our Creator, the one who wants to know you and loves you enough to give His life for you. This month, Hank Hanegraaff wants to help you grow into a deeper love with the one who made you by sending you his newest book called Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. It's his way of saying thank you for your gift in support of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, a gift that helps reach others who are desperate to know true intimacy with God. So please, share generously today and request your copy of Secrets to Real Intimacy with God when you call 888-7000-CRI with your gift. 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Not only do fast food Christianity books make unbiblical promises, they ultimately promise what they cannot deliver. That's where Hank Hanegraaff's Secrets to Real Intimacy with God stands apart. Instead of an instant formula, Hank's new book helps you grow in intimacy with the lover of your soul. Hank wants to send you a copy of his special resource as thanks for your gift when you support the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please request your copy when you go to equip.org. That's equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And right back to our phone callers. Next up is John Springdale, Arkansas, Bot Radio. Hi, John.
Brother Hank, thank you so much for taking my call.
Pleasure.
Yes, Brother Hank, I just want to take this opportunity to tell you how much I greatly thank the Lord for you and the ministry of CRI, brother. We just appreciate you more than you'll ever know.
Oh, thank you. That means the world to me. Thank you.
Well, Brother Hank, I just had a real quick question for you. I believe on a previous broadcast, you had mentioned something. I believe it was about a book by Dr. Lawrence Krauss. Is that right?
Yes. Actually, I was talking about an article in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal that does a critique of his book.
Oh, that's what it is, the article. Yes, sir.
Yep.
That really and truly just hit me like a bomb because I was thinking, you know, you hear And granted, to be sure, Brother Hank, I am neither a philosopher nor a physicist, but you hear a lot about about physics and about how they talk about this dark energy and about this dark matter. And maybe I'm going out on a limb here, but Brother Hank, and I wanted to get your take on this. To me, this idea of like dark energy and that there really is no empty space, doesn't that just absolutely scream that there is an omnipresent, omnipotent God? What is your take on that, brother?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think all matter does. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. And I think dark matter is part of that. It's a hypothesized form of matter. It's not bound up in the stars and the planets that we actually see. But it certainly, along with all matter, would point to an existence of a God. And this is something that Christians and skeptics can agree on. Black holes, electrons, the laws of logic, the force of gravity are unseen but yet are real, and therefore they depend upon a cause. Every effect has to have a cause equal to or greater than itself. Not only that, but God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature, says Paul, have been clearly seen and understood from what has been made, and therefore we are without excuse. If you want to put that another way, the order, the complexity of the universe screams, to use your word, screams in testimony to the existence of an uncaused first cause.
Amen. Amen. It's just, and it just amazes me, brother, that, like Scripture says, thinking themselves wise, they became as fools. It's just so obvious that there had to at some point have been an uncaused cause.
Yeah, and I think, using that word fool, it's interesting because you look at the Bible and David says this, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Now, the fool that he's talking about is not someone who lacks mental acumen. In other words, a person that doesn't have intelligence. That's not the kind of fool he's talking about. It's the one who says that when you look at the universe, that universe had to come into existence by itself. That's a foolish proposition. Logic itself tells you that if you find a basketball, you'll also find a basketball maker. In the same way, if you find a universe with 100 billion galaxies replete each with 100 billion stars, there has to be a universe creator as well.
Yes. Absolutely. Well, Brother Hank, thank you so very much for your time, brother. I appreciate it. And and by the way, Brother Hank, my wife and I have read your book that you wrote with Sigmund Brouwer, The Last Disciple and The Last Sacrifice. Is there a third installment in that series?
Yeah, The Last Temple. And if you hang on, you can get a copy.
Oh, praise the Lord. Brother Hank, thank you so much. We have just desperately wanted to get our hands on that third book.
Well, we've got it for you. Hang on.
Thank you so much, brother. God bless.
God bless you as well. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Buddy, Raleigh, North Carolina, listening on WDRU. Hi, Buddy.
Hey, Hank. I wanted to ask if you think the Bible is clear about where babies and mentally handicapped individuals go when they die. Why or why not? Do you think the Bible is clear about that?
Well, I don't think that the Bible shouts in that direction. I think what you have to do ultimately is rely upon the nature of God who's revealed himself in Scripture. And if you do that, I think that you find a God who's infinitely loving and infinitely just. And therefore, from my perspective, banking, as it were, upon the nature of the God revealed in Scripture, we can say that those who have handicaps in the sense that you described, or those who are below the age of accountability, they're not going to be excluded from the kingdom. So an infant that dies, we had a preborn child that died, baby Grace, and we are absolutely convinced that one day she will run into our arms in eternity. And the DNA that made her will be raised immortal, imperishable, incorruptible, and that she will flower in eternity to exactly what she would have been had sin never entered the world. So I believe that the Bible gives us hints, but the biggest thing that I would bank on is the nature of God, who is not looking for obstacles to keep us out of the kingdom, but has done all that one could possibly imagine and more, so that we could be reconciled to him for time and for eternity. So my theological deduction is infants and the people who have various kinds of mental difficulties and so forth will find themselves in God's eternal grace. God sends those to hell who do not want a relationship with him, either in time or for all eternity.
Okay. What passages of Scripture did you have in mind that you said give hints toward that?
Well, I would say in Matthew 18, where Jesus points to children as examples of those who will inherit the kingdom of heaven, or David in 2 Samuel chapter 2, expressing the belief that one day he would be with his child who had died. Those passages are frequently used to argue that children are deemed innocent by God until they reach the age of accountability.
Okay. Thanks, Hank.
You're welcome. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Charles in St. Louis, Missouri, KSIV. Hi, Charles.
Hey, Hank. Hey, I got a quick question for you. In Judges 8:30 and 31, they were saying Gideon, he had 75 with his many wives, and he had one with the concubine. And then the one with the concubine, Abimelech, he and the people of Shechem killed the 75 after Gideon died.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The question is, it says the youngest one, Joktan, escaped. But my question is, if one escaped, how can that be 70? Because Joktan, after that, Joktan says out of his own mouth that, you know, harm is going to come on you because you killed 70 sons. Shouldn't he have said like 69 if he was one of the 70?
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting passage. I think probably what's going on is the rounding off of numbers. When you look at Judges chapter 9, God repaid the wickedness that Abimelech had done to his father by murdering his 70 brothers. God also made the men of Shechem pay for all their wickedness. The curse of Jotham, son of Jerubbaal, came on them. I think there's a rounding off that's going on there. But let me say that this may require some further research and return, and I'd be willing to do that research. I just haven't looked deeply into that particular question. But that would be my initial response. If you want to get your information to us, I'd be happy to look into this further.
Okay, yeah, good enough. All right, man. Thanks a lot.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. You know, we've been talking a lot during this broadcast about the universe itself, and I thought I'd end the broadcast by talking about a man named astronaut Guy Gardner. He has seen the Earth from the perspective of the moon, and therefore I think he had a unique perspective in pointing out that the more we learn, the more we see about the universe, the more we come to realize that the most ideally suited place for life within the entire solar system is the planet we call home. In other words, life on Earth must have been designed by a benevolent creator rather than directed by blind chance. How important is that? It's important because so many today suppose that everything we encounter is a function of blind chance. But consider the ideal temperatures on this planet. If we were closer to the sun, we'd fry. If we were further away, we'd freeze. Or consider ocean tides. They're caused by, of course, the gravitational pull of the moon, and they play a crucial role in our survival. If our moon were significantly larger and therefore had a stronger gravitational pull, devastating tidal waves would submerge large areas of land. And if the moon were smaller, tidal motion would cease, and then the oceans would stagnate and die. Or consider plain old tap water. The solid state of most substances is denser than their liquid state, but the opposite is true for water. And that explains why ice floats instead of sinks. And if water were like virtually any other liquid, it would freeze from the bottom up rather than from the top down. That would kill aquatic life. It would destroy the oxygen supply. It would make Earth uninhabitable. So from the temperatures to tides to tap water and many other characteristics that we so easily take for granted, Earth is an unparalleled planetary masterpiece. And like Handel's Messiah or Da Vinci's Last Supper, our amazing planet should never be pawned off to a result of blind evolutionary processes. The most enlightened thing that we can say is to say, as Moses said, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Or as John writes in his epistles so beautifully, I love what he says when he starts the first epistle, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life, that life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. We proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us." That eternal life is Jesus Christ. He is the life of men. He is the light of the world. And for anyone listening to my voice who's never encountered Jesus Christ, if you realize that you're a sinner, repent of your sin and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, He will become more real to you than the very flesh upon your bones. And you will have not just an academic understanding that He was a historical figure, but you will have a lifelong relationship with the living Christ. That relationship will go on for all eternity. Our prayer is that those listening who know Christ will indeed be ambassadors for Christ, so other lost sons and daughters of Adam can know the second Adam, who did what we could not do. He lived the perfect life which we could not live and offers us His perfection as an absolutely free gift. I want to leave you with that thought and look forward to seeing you next time with more.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Hank Hanegraaff stumbled upon a secret when it comes to his beloved game of golf. When things go wrong with his game, it's not because he's failing to follow some faddish formula. It's because he's compromised a basic fundamental. Getting back to basics applies not only to the game of golf, but also to the art of Christian living. And that's why Hank wants to put his newest book, Secrets to Real Intimacy with God, into your hands. He wants to help you know our Creator's deep love for you in Christ. And he wants to send you a copy of Secrets to Real Intimacy with God as thanks for your gift to support the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please, share generously today and request your copy of Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. Go online to equip.org and request your copy. That's equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience.
You can also listen to 3-Minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices.